He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday, January 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today as we kick off the first trading day of the week. And we've got kind of ended the week the way we, or starting the week the way we ended last week. We've got pretty much green across the equity markets here. We've got the Dow up 0.5%, a little over 0.5% over the 38,000 mark at the moment, 38,075. We've got the S&P 500 still adding to the all-time highs that it closed at on Friday, up 22 points. That's just under 0.5% at 4,862. And then we've got the NASDAQ up 0.63%, and what a rise it's been for the NASDAQ over the particularly last week, up 97 points over 15,408. Crude oil continues to get a little bump from the continued back and forth in the Red Sea, up just over $74, up a little over 1% today. And gold and Bitcoin, both are down. Bitcoin's really, we'll get into that a little bit later, but Bitcoin's really, hadn't had much of a bump since it began trading on, in ETF form. It's at 40,576, down 2.5% today, or, a little over 1,000 a coin. But, again, good morning, and welcome to the Monday, January 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm your host, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, taking the wheel for Bill today as, we kick off, as Bill's been alluding to, we kick off really one of the first real big weeks of earnings. We got the large banks out of the way, last week. And so, we've got a few of the smaller banks, first couple of days this week. And then we get into some other, interesting names that are a little bit more interesting to talk about than the financials. So, but of course, news flow, as we've said recently, news flow seems to never stop, as of late. So we had, big moments, or there's always big moments in time where kind of politics and markets collide. Some more evident than others, and this weekend was one of those, with Ron DeSantis dropping out and then endorsing former President Trump just ahead of the New Hampshire primary this Tuesday. And actually, one of our one of Bill and I's senators here in South Carolina, Tim Scott, also had an endorsement for Trump in New Hampshire this weekend. And of course, I believe our governor here as well, McMaster's, did the same thing. Of course, that's on the heels of the South Carolina primary coming up. I believe that's not this week, that's next week, but we'll see how long, I guess, Nikki Haley remains in the race. It'll be seems to be escalating pretty quickly in terms of how that race is shaping up. And if you need a good barometer for just how quickly things are kind of moving along in the with the Republican nomination, just take a look at the chart of DWAC. We call it DWAC around here, but DWAC, that's Digital World Acquisition Corporation. And, it's up, I'm about to change my percentages from when I put some notes together this morning, but, stock's up 24% today. Of course, that's the, kind of holding company for Trump's, Truth Social. up 25%. And if you go back to if you look on a chart, it's a pretty interesting chart. If you look back at on January 12th, stock was trading at $17.32. And today it's trading at $33.02. So I believe my math earlier today was 75%. That was when it was at $29. So tack on a handful more percents there. I was actually talking to we had a client who came over and brought that position over and wants to hold it for a little while and see where this thing goes. And so we're obliging that. And today some of that patience is paying off a little bit more there. So just an interesting barometer. If you want to, you know, every once in a while you've got a few stocks out there that tend to end up being a good barometer for political movement out there. You know, kind of great one was, you know, looking back at the good examples, looking back at the healthcare names, particularly the hospitals back I think in Barack Obama's first term, where you had Obamacare get pushed through. Hospital companies went through the roof simply because you had had more payers, meaning the government backing payers, insurance companies payers, and less bad debt in terms of bills getting paid for healthcare. Another one we used for a little while there until COVID kind of messed up the waters a bit there was looking at electric vehicle stocks as you were kind of pushing as it was turning out of Trump getting closer to running for a second term. But like I said, of course, COVID kind of muddied the waters on that particular benchmark. But keep an eye on DWAC. It's pretty pretty interesting in how that shook out. And also, I guess, but before we get too far down the road, we got to congratulate the Detroit Lions in the NFL making it to the NFC Conference Championship game. That's they've got one more game to play for the opportunity to appear in the Super Bowl for the first time. So we know we've got a lot of listeners up in the Detroit area, and someone whose first name is Barry. I paid attention to Barry Sanders over the years. Not too many Barrys out there. Barry Bonds is another one, but that's a discussion for a different day. happy to see that happen for the Lions, and of course our listeners up that way. And of course that ends up being on top of Wolverines winning a college football championship. So congratulations to them. I know our fans and folks listening in Sarasota may be a little more hurt given the Buccaneers loss, but of course they got a championship a couple years back anyway, so I'm sure it doesn't hurt too much down there. But everything else going on in the world, we've got in the middle of it all, we had had the U.S. equity markets up in a big way last week. Started off the year fairly slowly, but of course finished the week, as I mentioned yesterday on Friday, as at an all-time high. And looks to be continuing that here at the moment. We've got the equity markets. I mean, interesting thing is, I think probably one of the more interesting pieces of, the markets finishing at an all-time high was, the fact that they did it in the in the same week that the U.S. 10-year Treasury rose 19 basis points, and basically hitting it's been a short year so far, but hitting a high in terms of 2024. On the 10-year, and so maybe we're hopefully we're beginning to see maybe a bit of decoupling from interest rates from equity performance. That would be nice to see. It just seems the attribution last year was around 80% of the market's rise, or 78% or so, was driven strictly you could kind of correlate it back to interest rates. So I know that's actually one of the highest correlations in history since they've been tracking that. And It's nice to see, you know, maybe we'll get a little dislocation there and get back to earnings. And of course, as we mentioned, we've got some big earnings on tap, as we'll kind of cover some of those upcoming earnings that we're going to get this week, some of the names of the companies, and kind of dive into those here in just a bit. But of course, a record high. You had the S&P advanced 1.17% on Friday, and got up to, I guess, a closing high, for those that want to write that down, 4,839. We might get a new one today, so don't maybe write it in pencil, but just a good, fantastic market performance last week. We'll dive into it, and then we'll also see what's on tap coming up for the week ahead, as we're just getting started on the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the Monday, January 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, taking the wheel for Bill today. Markets, everything's remains in the green here. We've got the Dow up almost 0.6% here. S&P 500 up a little over 0.5%. Still pushing its all-time high to currently at 4,865, and NASDAQ still outperforming the rest of those indices, up 0.72% at the moment, and crude oil continues to be a little on the higher end, up 1.57% today. But overall, it's like I said, we've kind of hit these different milestones. I believe it's the first. I think it's the first time that the S&P 500 has hit all-time high. I believe since just over 2 years since it hit last all-time high was at 42. It was on January 4th of 2022. So been a couple of years since we've been where we are. So it's always, one of these things, particularly when you're looking at, technical charts and resistance. When you get these all time highs and a breakout above it, then it's a big story. So, the first week of the, first real trading week or week and a half of the trading year of 2024 was, a bit soft, but the last 2 weeks, the markets, or the S&P has kind of, we've added, two weeks in a row of over 1%. Of course, last week really driven, largely by the technology stocks coming back alive. The technology index. Yeah, technology sector, certainly the best performing sector of the week, as you would imagine. And it is up, 5%, it's been 5% so far this year. And just continues to kind of drive, the market. I believe it was Thursday. We had Taiwan Semiconductor. Of course, that's the world's largest, chip maker out there. Certainly a major supplier of names like NVIDIA, Apple, and pretty much the entire industry. And they actually increased their revenue projection more than 20%, which, of course, those names, right, all the other chip names, that kind of trickled down to them from a valuation standpoint. AMD, a name that we own and have owned for a while and have written about a number of times on Seeking Alpha, they hit a record all-time high, and I believe they're following that up today at the moment. Looks, I actually get given a little back on that today. I think they're down $7 to $166. They got as high as $174. That's a 52-week high, and also the I believe their all-time high. And we've got kind of looking at some of the other reasoning behind it. You had Supermicrocomputer, which Bill mentioned, stock of the day on Friday, hit a record high, and the importance of that company in terms of what they do is they provide a lot of server equipment and rack mount servers, graphics for units, motherboards, a lot of the different Ethernet switches for data warehousing. Primarily, they're for AI, because we're going to need a lot of computing power out there to run all these AI models. Whether you're trying to make a song on ChatGPT or something else that's maybe more productive out there for these different AI models. But when you just look at their earnings estimates, me and Bill were talking about that it was almost kind of their NVIDIA moment. If you remember, towards the end of March, early April of last year, when NVIDIA really increased their revenue and earnings estimates. And Bill wrote a good article about it in terms of being one of the best, if not the best, earnings report. Certainly, the increase in earnings guidance that he had ever seen in the industry. And Supermicro kind of did the same thing from an earnings per share estimate. They moved their earnings from $4.40 to $5.40, so move that up a buck, just I think it was around 20% on the low end of the range, and also move the high end of the range up I think over $1.30 compared to the previous the other range was it went from 488 to 555. So when you think about it, this is just another example of building out that infrastructure for AI. I mean, it's hard to judge where AI will go and take us, particularly from a software standpoint. But when you're looking at it from the chip side of the equation, when you look at it from the data warehousing side of the equation, it's pretty easy to see now that those estimates are going to be continually raised. And so the kind of that picks and shovels approach that we talk about a lot of times is going to have a lot less execution risk on the chip side of AI. How companies use AI, and certainly on the software companies use AI and benefit from AI, there's certainly going to be winners and losers on that end of the spectrum. But just from an infrastructure standpoint, you've got to buy the chips, you got to have the computing power even to fail on the software side. So just a huge move there on Thursday and Friday with Taiwan Semi and SMCI, which is a name we own. SMCI, we don't own Taiwan at the moment, but we have in the past. But SMCI is a name we own, and continues to be a big addition to the portfolio. I believe we own it in our emerging growth portfolio. I don't think we own it in ultra growth, but it's one that's been kind of on the short list for a while for ultra growth as the company has gotten a little bit bigger from the kind of small to lower mid cap range as it continues to grow. And if it's going to keep going up 30% in a day, then it'll get to the mid cap and potentially large cap space pretty quick. It's last time I looked at it today, just down 0.5%, giving back just a little bit of gains, but still trading at all-time high there. But Well, we've got, when we come back, we'll get into some earnings reports and let you know what we've got on tap from an economics and earnings standpoint this week, and get you prepared for what's out there. But we'll be right back for the second half of the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Monday, January 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm Barry Kite, planner analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, serving as a relief captain for Bill today, this morning. And looks got a little bit of the steam's out of the market. NASDAQ was up, I think, because we came into after the last break, was up about 0.75%. Now we're up, NASDAQ just under a half a percent here, but still in the green, and S&P 500 still in the green as well, which means it's pushing that all time high close on Friday a little bit higher. But as mentioned, and today we've got the Treasury, U.S. Treasury actually down 8 basis points. But as I mentioned earlier, the 10-year, you know, through the end of last week, it rose 19 basis points this year, primarily because, you know, really the economy continues to perform well, or at least relatively well, particularly relative to other major economies out there. There's been plenty of reports of, and Bill's shown a number of good charts in terms of China continuing to struggle. They've got some issues in terms of how they're going to attempt to stimulate their economy. Read some interesting feedback in terms of how they plan to potentially add some liquidity into their system. They usually tend to do it at the what we would call the municipality level, but a lot of those municipalities are spent. They've built, cities, or, we've all heard about the, empty cities in parts of China. And so they've got a property problem. And so a lot of that, debt that they've issued, those municipalities really don't have any, more debt to issue. And so, really comes from, what we would, not what they call it, but be considered our Federal Reserve. Well, they've really only done, special financing, I think three times in the last, 2 decades, all of them during major crises. So you had one, being the Asian debt crisis, another, I believe, kind of around 08, 09, and then the most recently, one, I believe in early 2020 as a COVID measure. So, they're actually talking about doing that to help, so it'd be the fourth time in really 2 decades. So just kind of tells you that, behind the scenes, there's some big issues from an economic perspective there. Of course, the EU continues to have their own set of issues, that they're dealing with. Of course, you've got, you've got a united Europe, but at the same time, all of those economies are usually doing or reacting in different ways at different times. A lot of times when you have, Germany doing very well, other countries, Spain, for example, they may be doing, moving in a different direction. And so trying to coordinate economic policy is difficult to do, in the Eurozone. And, of course, tack on some of the Red Sea issues. It's been even kind of a tougher potential going forward for them. Not to mention Russian-Ukrainian conflict in their backyard. So for now, you know, U.S. really remains the best game in town, and really continues to perform on the back of the U.S. consumer. End of the week last week, we had consumer sentiment jump more than expected. Actually, the highest level since July of 2021. The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index rose to 78.8 in January. The consensus number was 70, so it came in pretty significantly higher. And like I said, that was the highest level since July 2021. And actually, over the last couple of months, I believe the sentiment has actually gone up about 29%, which is the largest two-month increase since 1991. And as we remember, that was at the end of the 91 recession, which actually ended up putting original George Bush ended up leading to him only getting one term. So pretty remarkable numbers on the consumer sentiment side, particularly as we've had the Fed rate raising cycle here. So just interesting in terms of, hopefully, like I said, we're getting from a, decoupling of this, hyper-focused, on interest rates, versus where maybe we can, kind of have a bit more focus on the earnings side of the valuation equation. And, this week, of course, that also comes off of the jobless claims that we had last week of 187,000 when, I think the consensus was a little over 200, and in reality, we need that, you need that number to get up to about 300K before you're really talking and seeing signs of weakness in the job market. So, from an earnings standpoint, earnings continue to seem like they're, got the ability to remain resilient, and as, most consensus say starting in beginning of 2023 was that you're going to have an earnings, potentially earnings recession, earnings slowdown, a significant one in the back half of 2023, and frankly never really materialized. And you actually had a lot of forward guidance for Q1 of 2024 and Q2 of 2024 increasing. So. Interesting. That's why we, as Bill always says, we're stocks follow earnings. So this week we kind of get into a little bit of the heart of earnings season. We've got United Airlines today. I saw one named Zions Bank, which brought me back to last March, where they were one of those troubled names that would get thrown around the. Silicon Valley Bank deal, so they're going to be reporting today. Tuesday we'll get Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Netflix, Verizon, Texas Instruments, GE, Raytheon, 3M. I think we're going to get we'll get Halliburton and Baker Hughes. Wednesday will be a big one. We'll get Tesla, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the weakness that we've seen kind of in the quote-unquote green economy over the last handful of trading days. But we'll get Tesla on Wednesday. We get ASML on Wednesday. I believe Abbott Labs, SAP, IBM, ServiceNow, another name we own, AT&T, LRCX, and Thursday, Visa. We've got Intel on Thursday. I'm trying to see who else we have in here. Nokia, just a name that just comes to mind, even though they're still going. We've got Love Airlines, which is going to be Southwest Airlines. And then Friday we've got Caterpillar, which used to, historically has really been a barometer kind of the economy. So we'll see how Caterpillar does. American Express, which is a name that Bill added to our portfolios, I guess about 2 weeks ago or so now. So we'll be interested to see their earnings report on Friday as well. So we've got a lot of names, and really on that Wednesday that the Tesla Tesla earnings to me are going to be one of the most kind of most interesting ones to kind of view. Of course, Bill's mentioned and we parted ways with Tesla, owned it for a while, parted ways with it. I'd say, I guess about a week, maybe 2 weeks ago now. But you know, you've really seen a lot of continued weakness, of course, like as we mentioned in China, and just really the amount of stories that have kind of been piling up detailing, you know, softness in, you know, and I guess what you would call the quote unquote green economy. We talked about Hertz, announcement and basically selling I think a third of their, EV fleet. I believe most of those are Teslas, if not all of them. You know, I put a few other, kind of stories together as well. Just, you know, it just seems that there may be a rethink or repricing at a minimum, underway in the, green economic world. Just a story that came out today, SolarEdge is cutting 16% of their workforce, which, they're going to plans to lay off 900 employees or 16% of their workforce. About 5,500 folks, and their market valuation has gone down 80%, in the past year. And, just numbers of stories that are for whether it's Albemarle or QuantumScape or even, Rivian Automotive. So they just keep piling up in terms of what's going on there and what's, where we're going from a green perspective. But, we're flying through the show, and we'll be back for the fourth and final quarter of the show. Best Stocks Now. And welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm your host, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here with Gunderson Capital Management, finishing things out for Bill on this Monday morning, first week of the trading week of what's going to at least shake out towards the end of the week to be a pretty big earnings week. We've also got some interesting information from an economic standpoint. We get the Japanese rate decision on Tuesday, likely not to make much move there, but nonetheless, that'll be reporting. We get pretty much some PMI data from, you know, around the globe, including the U.S., Germany, on Wednesday. And we get U.S. GDP numbers on the first go at it, I believe it's for Q4. Of 2023, so we'll get first GDP reading for that on I believe that's Thursday as well. Of course, the weekly jobless claims that, you know, they never cease every Thursday, and then we'll also get an ECB rate decision, European rate decision on Thursday. I believe Lagarde mentioned, I think it was early last week, maybe the week before, that that she doesn't expect a rate cut for the region until sometime this summer. And then Friday we'll get the PCE inflation index, which of course is the Fed's preferred reading for inflation. So certainly a lot of information, like I said, from an earnings standpoint, going to get a lot of names. So, you know, be sure to go to GundersonCapital.com. Feel free to sign up for two free weeks of the newsletter there. You can, Bill, you know, this is the time of each quarter where, Bill is updating those, market outlook, you know, really significantly every week because we're getting more and more, actual earnings readings, for the quarter, and then of course more and more go forward guidance in terms of evaluating what's happening on a go forward basis. But For today, looks like in terms of the market, we've got, I think we still had some green up here whenever. Yeah, it kind of come down a little bit. NASDAQ, like I said, we started the show, was up about 0.75%, up just under 0.25% now. The Dow's hanging in there up a 0.5%, and really the Dow being driven really by two stocks today. Apple up about 1.25%. And some information come out where, you know, some folks are, I guess, are a little excited about this, Apple Vision Pro. We don't really see that as a huge driver for the stock, at least not currently, but, getting a little bit demand on those, you know, a few $1,000, VR headset there. And so they're driving the market. Another strong name is Goldman, driving the, Dow today up 2.35%. It looks like they got some good news where, you know, there's going to be some pretty significant changes to the Basel III proposal. Bottom line there is those companies, those banks may not have to keep as much capital on the sidelines. If they don't keep capital on the sidelines, then they're able to win that and do positive returning outcomes in terms of lending that out, investing that that capital. Really kind of you know, I guess the stock that's hurting the NASDAQ the most today is Gilead Sciences. Looks like they have a they've got a drug in their pipeline that didn't looks like it didn't hit it was a lung cancer drug that failed phase 3 trial there. Bill's better at pronouncing these names than me. Trodelvy is the name of the drug. Failed the phase 3 trial there, and so that stock's down 9.6% at the moment. That's really what's probably the moving the NASDAQ the most here. And it's pretty interesting when you look through the names in the NASDAQ, whereas you had an eight-day losing streak across a good bit of the green kind of economy names. A handful of those names are bouncing back just a bit today. You had, Enphase, which is just had a real rough go as of late. It's finally kind of bouncing back a bit here. Rivian actually bouncing back a tiny bit as well. Those are kind of the biggest movers in the market in terms of to the upside for the NASDAQ. Yeah, Enphase is up 5.84%. I guess we'll call that the stock of the day. Don't get too excited because I believe it's down 52% in the last 12 months. So stock needed a little bit of a rebound there. Rivian's actually up 3.8%. I think it's down 11% in the last 12 months. But I'm seeing a little bit of strength there, or a little bounce back, if you will, on the green economy side of things. But overall, just looking forward to an interesting earnings week. It's always it's always good to break out the pencil and calculator and see where it's almost kind of sports analogy. It's scoreboard time. So it's time to see where folks lie on the scoreboard and gauge what their prospects are going forward, because we stocks trade on earnings and certainly trade on future expectations. And we'll begin to get a good read of some of those names. Like I said, probably the one we're interested in the most is going to be Tesla on Wednesday, just because it touches a bunch of different parts of the economy. But we'll get Netflix tomorrow. We've got ASML, one that we own here at the firm, will be coming out on Wednesday, as well as Lam Research will also be out on Wednesday. So we've got our eyes on a few of these names we own within the portfolios, and you just want to keep an eye on things. That's what we're here for. And, you know, if you've got any, questions, comments, you want to get a copy of the newsletter, feel free to go to the website at GundersonCapital.com. Or, you can always give us a call or give us, tell Edie that you'd like to talk with us. Phone number there, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. And, hope you, guys have a great, great rest of the day. And thanks for being with us. Best Stocks Now Show. We'll see you tomorrow.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.